Yes, good evening. What a blessing to meet again. And I didn't know it was going to be the last Saturday for the year. I think it's a great privilege. And also for what she is saying, that you go on mission. That's exactly what we are talking about here today, that the reason for being Christians is that we go on mission, that we be on mission, that we don't remain mission field, that we become missionary. That's what she is saying. She named Mukuru Kwanjenga, which is a good thing. I'm also hoping that some people go to Ruda, because having wealth doesn't make people qualify for the kingdom. As you are going to see next year when you come to Cornelius, that he needs the Holy Spirit, just like other people. So sometimes I think we don't reach some of the unreached because we don't even know how to enter their gates. It's easy to go door to door, kwa Mukuru Kwanjenga, but how do you go door to door in some of those estates? Do you realize how difficult it is for people who are rich to enter the kingdom of God? And we want to be rich. I pray that we enter the kingdom. I thank God again, reading through the scriptures, this passage of Acts chapter 8. One, after last Saturday, spoken several places, and I don't think there's any congregation that I haven't mentioned Acts chapter 8, because it is like it entered me fresh and with freshness, and I'm literally praying. I've come praying. I'm praying that the Lord pours His Spirit on us. I'll tell you, my girl here, just greeting me, started reminding me what I said about some prophecy. And then I remembered, yeah, it is true. There are prophecies. Just before some of you are born, there was a man who used to come to the church here called Barry Smith. And he was reading the book of Daniel, Revelation, the newspaper, and what Jesus said about the second coming. And then he would speak. He told us that we were going to have a cashless society where we'll be using cards. And money will not be in use. That time there was one credit card senator with very few people, so that it sounded like, what are you talking about? He said we are going to have big supermarkets where when you enter, you can get a needle and a car. You know, in other words, small thing and a big one. I mean, everything will be under the same roof. That time there was one small mall called Ibrahim's in town, and Uchumi was kind of picking up. We didn't know there were going to be giants that now came later. That for sure, I mean, as the man would come, he used to come here and he speak, the things start happening. And of course, as I talk today, don't we have a cashless society with M-Pesa and everything that is going around? One of the things I remember him saying is that after the cashless society, we are going to, the cards can be stolen, can be done things that we are normally told, that somebody can put a cap on copy and get your details. And then with these days when we leave all our details with every watchman at the gate, I think anybody can do anything. That would be dangerous. Therefore, it will be necessary to put those things, chips, inside the skin, so that you don't need to carry anything. You just appear, you know, and then the machines will read you, and then you go. And so then it will proceed to the sign of the beast, the 666. So now, the story was very fascinating for me, because things were happening, and he is interpreting the Bible in a way that I was able to get it. The thing is, I think he passed away, but I keep praying, can there be another Barry Smith now to tell us something, you know, where we are currently? So when I say that we need the power from on high so that we can understand scripture, so that we can interpret the times. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves without heads and we don't know what happened. At what point do we say no? At what point, having spirit of discernment, we need the power of the Holy Spirit as it happened. So, in Acts chapter 8, as has been read, the work of the Holy Spirit started with multitudes. Remember, in Acts chapter 2, the multitudes had the gospel, converting them. Then, after the persecution, as we discussed last week, the people are being harassed, that they are running away. They go to villages, they go to Samaria. So villages got it. So today, we want to talk about individual, that it is multitudes, it's villages, even to an individual, that the work of the Holy Spirit is going to go, and that God is intending to reach everybody. And so there's an individual that God has in mind, and he will get the message just like everybody else. The subject, the topic is persecution, preaching, and productivity. Because we started, it's the same as last week, we started with persecution, then preaching, remember Simon the sorcerer, then productivity, which is what now we are talking about today. So, verse 26, now an angel of the Lord say to Philip, go south. An angel of the Lord say to Philip, go south, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. First, an angel of the Lord. Was this a human being that came to Philip, or was it a persistent thought that God used to make Philip know that he has to go? I don't know. But the truth is, it was clear there was some persistence that made him realize he has to go. The kingdom of God is organized. God knows what he's doing, and he doesn't make mistakes. I don't know whether you have had ministry of angels, but we may never know. Because they don't come the way the pictures that we get with wings, which I think is somebody's imagination. I think the angels come in many forms. I can't remember this incident. I think I've quoted it here. Made me think there was an angel. Okay, two incidents. One was when I was going to Makerere University in 1975. Going to the university, to a country that was under military rule, much as the university was the one for East Africa, the university, there was something about the military rule and the coup that was unfamiliar. I remember, because I tried to seek admission to Nairobi University or Kenyatta, which was a college of Nairobi University, and I actually got it. But my father felt I should go to Makerere, and I was struggling between obedience and doing what I feel. It was a difficult journey. It was very difficult journey for me. I actually decided, I felt like, because we had agreed with my dad that we pray for God to guide, and I felt like God leads and we are not obeying. So I thought I have had a lot of this Christianity, having gotten saved in primary school, all through high school, and it is certainly an uphill. The systems go against you, girls go against you, boys are even worse. Now, maybe you can agree with the system for a change. I think in my journey, that was one moment I contemplated backsliding, and I actually momentarily did. So when I packed my things, I didn't carry a Bible. Yeah, because now I wanted a new leaf. And I didn't carry money. I changed my Kenyan money to Ugandan money, and that's all. I think I had 50 cents of Kenya shillings. So it is just like throwing yourself away. So I got the bus of Scott Sabina. I got it here at 7 in the evening. It was getting to Kampala at 7 in the morning. And so we went. Somewhere, I had never been to Nakuru. I come from the Mount Kenya region. Nairobi is already very far. So the other sides, this was discovery, and it's in the night, so there's nothing to discover. So we get somewhere near Eldoret. Now I know. And I was asleep. I woke up and saw the wheel of the bus running ahead of us. Yeah. Then I had, there was an accident. I saw it. I saw the wheel move. And then I didn't know now what to make out of this. The vehicle could not move. We had to wait now, I think, for assistance from Nairobi. And remember, there are no mobiles. And even the telephones, even the office ones, were not that many. So I sat in that bus. I am in Kenya with no Kenyan money. I got hungry because the other bus was to come around the same time. So you have to be there the whole day and the night. Then everybody kept leaving. People left. I was left there. And when you are a girl, and there's men are there. So I got the scare of my life. I don't know where I am. I don't know where to go. Hey, friends, you can backslide. But, you are backslide quickly because you need the Lord. Yeah, so you need the Lord desperately. I need his protection. So I quickly called on the Lord. Before I finished the prayer, I was sitting next to two men. And somehow they asked me where I was going. I told them. They told me they were Kenyans. In fact, Kikuyus from Muranga. They were trading in Iganga. That's where they lived. So they felt that was very nice that I was going to Makerere. Right. So they left earlier. Remember, they know where they are going. So do you know when I prayed? It was around 3 in the afternoon and thoroughly hungry. I saw one of the men come with a hot boiled maize. And he came straight to me. He said they reached the border and wondered, what about the girl who was going to university? How did we leave her? So they agreed he comes back for me. And so he came with the maize for me to eat. And then, he took all my luggage. We went. I paid no money. When we got to Iganga, the man, it was one room. He left his bed, slept on the floor. I slept on the bed with his new wife, who had no child. The following day, he got me into a matatu, paid, gave me those sweet bananas, which had not come to my places at that time, and then paid the matatu as a taxi to take me to Makerere, which is 3 kilometers from Kampala. And I thought, what is that? Is he a normal human being? He gave me his address. And sure enough, because now I was so grateful to God, I wrote to him. I have looked for him. He was called Peter Mooney. Up to today, I've never found that man. I wonder, was he a real human being? Was there such a person? Did God send an angel to help me at my time of lostness? I don't know. But I'm very, very grateful to God. By the way, I say the name in case you know a relative with that name. The man was exceptionally kind to me. I've never been able to say thank you. But I saw the heart of God so that there was no issue of backsliding. Fortunately, my sister who helped me with parking had put a Bible under so that as I was unpacking, I found there was a Bible. And I continued on my journey of faith, realized that this backsliding won't work. I need God. I need to be with him. There was another time, but I think let me share that. As Philip is taught by the angel of the Lord to go south. So we need to be aware that God uses his agents. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, all his angels, mighty in strength, who do his word, who hearken to the voice of his command. In the same way, the enemy uses demons, he uses this Illuminati, who I believe are among us, and all kinds of things. The angels are also a reality. They are messengers that God uses, and it will be unfortunate if we don't experience. Hebrews 1:14 says, are not the angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? When God sends me those agents, I don't understand. Human beings that I try to trace, I can't see them in him after that. And they have come at a time I needed the Lord. I mean, the next time I wanted to say, I was in London. It was my second time to be in London again with the money of the British pounds and Kenya shillings. When you exchange, you feel like somebody has robbed you. So I went to the airport, and I was told the aeroplane has just left. I was coming from some Eastbourne, there, Sussex, ahead there. So I didn't know now what to do. First, the cold is not normal. I mean, I thought I knew cold. I even called my place cold, but I had not known there is another thing called winter. Where the cold is undefinable. So I am here. And so I thought, do I sleep? Well, because I was told the plane will come back the following day, same time. Hey, you know, as I am wondering what to do, I mean, just when I'm told I'm almost collapsing, a woman says, "Mama, habari." Hey, that voice, I mean, you speak habari in London. Hey, that, you feel that's an age for sure. Then she says, usijali tutaenda pamoja, na mimi nimeachwa. Okay. Then she picks my luggage. This is your luggage. She puts in a trolley. She was already having one. So she says, let's go. She calls a taxi. I just follow. So we go. She books me in a hotel called Paradise something. Then she says, I know you haven't eaten. Can we go to McDonald's? Don't worry. She is having bangles. She says, you know, this is gold and this is silver. I have accounts here. I'm coming from US. I mean, she is okay. I mean, the I am taken care of. I thought about my husband and family that were going to meet me at the airport. Those days, there were no Ubers. So now I needed to call him. So she asked me, what is the number in your home? I give her. Do you know she just comes with the phone, says, talk to him. So that I tell him, don't come today. The phone. So, the lady is exceptionally nice. When the plane comes the following day, she has the taxi and we go. I am rested. And when I sleep, let me tell you, I just sleep properly. And she's the one who wakes me up. We have breakfast, go back to the plane. That's when I realized it's not that the plane had left, it is that these ones, cheap ones, which don't keep time. So it got fueled and left earlier. It's not that we had done anything. So anyway, there we were. This girl was, it was Emirates. She would just tell me to rest on her lap. I rest on her when I feel sleepy. She was exceptionally nice. When we got to Nairobi, to the airport here, she told me kwaheri. She told me she's a Tanzanian, and she had done secretarial here at Kianda. And I was so grateful. Again, I looked for her. I looked for the number she gave me. I have never been able to trace her. But I am saying God has his agents. And they are all over. They are there for us. So here, Philip, after very successful and fruitful ministry, he is directed to go. Please note, he is directed to go to the desert. It is not settling. Go to the south road, the desert road, not the green place. After a time when any one of us would have wanted to start a church so that you can see whether these people are growing and how they are growing, I am telling you, some of you are staying in places too long. God wants you to go. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the angel of the Lord. Philip is not to say, he has spoken, he has preached, people have been converted. People like Simon have come, they have been told to repent. And there, instead of having him settle, and remember, as we said last week, the job that the believers, the apostles thought was good for Philip was about tables, was social welfare. But this is the man filled with the Spirit of God, directed by the Spirit, and he is not settling. So there is a special providence of God for those who sincerely desire to follow him. And we need to be aware that God does direct his people. And sometimes we may think he'll lead us to greener pastures, But no, it is his direction to the place of his choice, not necessarily to where we think in our human flesh. Philip seemed to be utterly indispensable because it was precisely at this moment when he has done such a good job that God tells him to leave the area. He did not object. He did not object God's leading. He left the great success of the work in Samaria and he went to the desert. So God is able to lead us to very unlikely places. He may lead you from an employment with a good, trustworthy employer to totally unreliable situation where you have to depend on the Lord for everyday food. When it is the Lord leading, it is not what people think or what will happen, you have to obey. It is important to trust. That's what Philip did. So he goes. Jesus Christ explained that when those invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb gave excuses, when they said they were not available, the servants were commanded. Matthew chapter 22, verse 9. They were told to go to the main highways and the byways of the city and invite to the wedding feast as many as they could find. And the Lord will use us. On another hand, I feel I am one of those on the byways because we are not of the Jewish race. The gospel for some reason did not come to us. We were not a people to know God. But by the grace of God, because the marriage supper of the Lamb must have the people, people are sent to the highways and the byways. That's why we can't take grace of God for granted. We are not the original invitees. It is the grace of God that has reached us, and we need to acknowledge. In the same way, the Lord will send us to the highways and the byways so that the marriage supper of the Lamb is filled with willing people who consider the grace of God for what it is, who do not have sense of entitlement because they know they were not qualified for it, that it is the grace of God that has reached them. So Philip is sent to the byway to reach somebody. What is important to note is obedience. Obedience is critical to the work of the Lord. Philip was obedient to God's command. Willingness to do God's bid is the mark of discipleship. Willingness, and we have to know the voice of God and distinguish it from the system. The system may think you are good at serving tables, but the Lord is leading you elsewhere. Don't insist so that you have a future, so that you have people to come for your wedding, so that you have those fears. Work of God done out of fear is not work of God at all. It is flesh. It is acts of flesh. So Philip obeys. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the one we quote because it's so important, that therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The command is not just to preach and baptize. It is to teach obedience. And I think that is where the mission gets lost. Because we preach, we baptize, but we don't teach obedience. Because we may not have been commanded by Christ. We may have simply followed the system and been found suitable by the people. I am saying, Jesus Christ said that when you become his disciple, teach people to obey everything I commanded you. That's why it is never going to be your opinion. That's why the message is not what you think. It is not how you think. It's not what you attract people. No, teaching them obedience. How do you teach obedience? That, for me, is very, very important. Tim Keller says, religion says, I obey, therefore I am accepted. Christianity said, I am accepted, therefore I obey. And that is a clear distinction. Those who want to obey so that they can be accepted, they are in a format of religion, cultural religion, and it will not take us anywhere. Those who know Christ, those who know the power of the Holy Spirit, they know they have been accepted, and therefore they obey. So Philip, not knowing where he was going or who he was going to meet, he went. He went. He has not just go to the desert road, but he doesn't know what their mission is. And like I've said here before, when God says, he doesn't need to tell you what it is. That's why I think Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said the gospel is not for the wise. Because if you must get the strategy, if you must get the details, then you may not. As you will see in the Bible, God says go. It is me, whatever. It is to trust him for what you don't know. So I was speaking this morning and quoting what Jesus Christ told the people that said they wanted to follow him. And he says, foxes have holes, birds of the air, it was Ukambani, so. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. If you don't get that, you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That foxes have somewhere to go for security. Birds of the air have somewhere to go for security. But if you follow the Son of Man, your security will not be in anything feasible. Your security will be in the Lord, in trusting, not what you see. That is what it is. Philip has to go, and he doesn't know what there is. He is leaving something tangible, but he is going nowhere. But it is obedience. The work, teaching them obedience, as I have commanded you. That if we miss that bit, then the work of God cannot be done. God speaking to Abraham, the father, that God calls out, so that he teaches us the way to do it. Genesis 12 verse 1 says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go forth from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. He doesn't tell him where that land is. It is leave what is familiar. Leave what gives you security. Just go. The gospel is about going. Go. It is the Lord who will show. It is not what we have figured out. It is him to show. Verse 26. Philip started out, and on his way, while still going, he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, who is an important official and in charge of Queen's treasury. He comes from a land, I believe that's what she was referring to, where women are the rulers. Kadesh or whatever is a title that was used for the women. That was not the name of that particular person, but was the title, the queen, that was used for that person. So Philip goes. I think it was here that I quoted Genesis 24:27, where the servant of Abraham, again, who is told to go and get a wife for the son of Abraham. And that verse is, I being on the way, the Lord led me. I being on the way, I kept going, and the Lord led me. That sometimes it is literal obedience. And as we go, you find the power of God there. So the Ethiopian eunuch was used by Luke to indicate that salvation could extend even to the Ethiopians. Some commentaries say that there were two Ethiopia. There was one in Arabia, but this one is the one in the south. So that this one is the one next to Egypt. It's the one which borders Kenya. That is the Ethiopia where this eunuch comes from. Certainly. I don't know what you feel when you read that story. There was an Ethiopian who heard the gospel those days from the first apostles. What happened that the gospel never got to Kenya? What happened? There was Kadesh, where she was, or rather this queen, it is where the queen of Sheba was. A woman of majesty and dignity who hears of Solomon's wealth And she does not sit to be told. She goes to see for herself. She does not go to be given presents. She goes to give. She's a woman of what happened that 2,000 years later, of course, many more, I mean, when you talk of Solomon, that we are the way we are. Friends, there is something to be found. I think I mentioned to you that when I went with the family to this Kilivi, that place past Kilivi, those Ged ruins, I felt depressed. Even today, when I visit such places, I go quiet. Because I am told this was the king's place, this was the queen's place, they had latrines that were in the house, they had water that was in the pipes in 1300s at the coast. Are we talking? I mean, what happened that we are being discovered in 1844? I mean, I think we need to ask ourselves questions, because same thing can be happening. Same spirit, same sickness can be there. Where the message is there available but does not reach you. But that's not the issue. That is, by the way. Then the Ethiopian was a rich man, a man of power, and at least in some way, he was a celebrity. Yet Philip needed him. Philip needed to be used of God so that the man can know who Jesus is. Just as much as anyone else, being in a possession of power did not exempt this man, that he was there. We should never fear speaking to those who are considered to be important about Jesus Christ. That being rich, like I've said earlier, does not make people know. That there is need not to fear, that it is important that we do. So this knowledge of God was there. The eunuch was coming from Jerusalem, where he probably had heard. Now, the issue of being a eunuch, this is a man that has been, he cannot produce children. He's been made a eunuch. I think it's Matthew chapter 12, where the Bible says that some are eunuchs because they are born that way. Some are eunuchs because they are made so by men. But some are eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. That there are people that somehow, because of their service, they need to be available. This man is having a woman. Therefore, it is important that he is in that status, and seems like it is an acceptable status where he is. However, he is coming from Jerusalem. It's very possible that he was either converted, Gentile, who was a Jew, or rather, who became a Jew because of that. Or maybe he was a Jew, like, of course, the stories talk about Queen of Sheba having gotten children, and therefore, if they were Solomon's children, then they have Jewish blood. In my teaching, I've taught some who tell me they are Jews because they trace their ancestors to the Queen of Sheba. Black, more black than I am. But they trace the thing there. And it's okay. They, in fact, were taken to Israel. So this man, whichever way, if he was a Gentile converted, then he was the first Gentile to be converted, not Cornelius. If he wasn't, so we don't know the details, but I don't think that's what is important. What is important is there is a man who is reading the scriptures. And as Philip is going, as Philip is obeying that voice within him, verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now the instructions are specific. Go to that chariot and go stay near it. He was conscious of that still small voice, that Isaiah, that verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. I think to me, to hear that voice that tells you this is the way, I think it's very, very important. And so Philip is to get to the chariot and stay near. It is not, you are not going to start telling him that we have to have communication skills that will make our communication effective, that go stay near there. Make yourself available so that the man can see you. And Philip does not just walk, he actually runs. The man was filled with the Holy Spirit. So that was the voice, that was the voice that spoke to him, and he ran now to the chariot, and he had to be there. I remember, and I think I've shared this here, that this dear brother, we were in the same Bible study, and as we talked about reaching people for God, people will not happen to know. And the church is not the place for reaching out to people. It is the gathering of believers. It is the people that go to where the sinners are and witness to them. That's what happened in Samaria. People went, and I want to put it to you, if you continue sitting in church and refining your music, this thing will be bombed and you will go. And when you'll be talking about Jesus, if you are filled with the Spirit of God, don't trust systems too heavily, because they stagnate the work of God. That is why we're asking the question, what happened to the gospel? That whenever people sit down to develop the systems, the work of God is stagnated. So here Philip goes. So this man, he goes to the office. The boss is of Asian origin. And he wonders, where do you start? How do you tell him? He struggles, he prays, he looks for an opportunity. He was working for a bank. Where do you begin the gospel? And you know, that persistent spirit, that voice, one day he went early and realized the boss was there. Trembling, he knocked the door and he started telling him, literally shaking, that he just wanted to share about Jesus Christ. The man was so excited. He opened his drawer. He removed a Bible. He had so much material on Christianity that he was looking for someone to explain to him the gospel. So while people are shaken here, the Lord has already prepared the person. He was shocked. It was not even him to tell. It's the man. And this is what he said. He told him that the problem was, when you want to find out more about the Christian faith, Christians want to get to know you so that they use you. They want promotion. I don't know what's wrong with us. We are not communicating the gospel because of poverty mindset, where we think people have to help us. So you see a CEO greet you, and you think, yes, I am now going to get the promotion. Friends, it's not about promotion. There is something else. So he said he didn't know who to trust. He didn't know who to trust. Because he can see people say they are Christians, but he also hears their conmen who are called Christians. So he didn't know who to trust and kept hoping. What had happened? His daughter went to study in UK. Somebody shared the gospel with her, and she received Christ. And she started praying for her family. She started preaching to her father. So she sent material. Dad, read this. Dad, read this. So that she sent the Bible to the father. So the father is looking for someone to explain. But there are many people working where we work who are ready, looking for someone to explain. But we are too ashamed. We are too relevant, so that we don't want to identify with the faith. And you know why? Because the Spirit of God is not present. Because the Spirit of God has been silenced. I want to tell you, it was so exciting as this brother, because now the Mwindi told him to be going early so that they can read the Bible together, so that he can be explaining to him. He had no objection. He had read enough and wanted just somebody with whom to ask questions. So the eunuch was friendly, verse 28. He was not threatened by a man running toward his chariot. Because if you see a man running and you are in your car, somebody comes on foot. I mean, what do you think? I mean, he is not threatened. That tells you he's secure. That it is not about your security all the time. That there are people who genuinely want to know more about the faith. But many times we are too concerned about our security. I mean, I don't know how to tell you. I used to teach Bible club in the estate I lived. And I would gather children from the neighborhood. And they came from everywhere. Because somehow they were so curious. They used to come and used to come running. Those were the, that's the only meeting. People don't come late. They come before time when they are young. Now, when I left the estate, since we had a Bible study, I just thought somebody else will enjoy having the children continue to meet in their house. Everybody said they will steal. The children will steal from them. So the thing is, they have been coming to my house. Agreed, I'm not rich. Maybe there was nothing to steal. But what is it? What is so important that you think will be stolen? What is it that they can steal? And is it so valuable? Okay, they'll take your TV. I can't see how they'll take it. I don't know. I mean, so I thought I listened to the people as they felt it was insecurity. Some of the children were coming from slum places, but they were comfortable in my house. And they never stole anything, by the way. So why I was amazed at this fear. Do you know that Bible club had to collapse? Because nobody could host it for security reasons. That's when I thought, friends, I think we need to wake up. I think we need to even think all your things are stolen. It's okay. You need to, the Lord is your God. He will provide. If they are stolen and in the process people get to know the Lord, I think it is okay. They may not even be that valuable. After all, it is your imagination. So friends, I don't know. The eunuch was quite at home. His status did not create a barrier. He is rich. He is well to do. He is in a chariot, which not a horse. Philip is walking. But that is not a barrier. In addition, the man is reading the scriptures loudly. I think, I imagine maybe he didn't know how to read very well. You know, sometimes when people don't know how to read very well, they read loudly. Yeah, but the man is reading loudly. That it's okay, you, Philip, you can stay there. He's reading loudly. So Philip is there listening. And I thought, this is so good. The man does not understand. First that, Philip asks him, do you understand what you are reading? And the man says, how can I? Unless someone explains. He knows he doesn't understand, but he keeps reading. I am telling you, even without degree in theology, even without a preacher, keep reading the book. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Keep reading. Sometimes we go to Revelation. You read the seals. You read the creatures. I mean, the thing the head cannot comprehend. I think it's the other day. I was looking at Revelation 21. And I told my husband, you know what? We don't have a mental picture for this. Because the heaven has come down. The earth has been changed. So there is no heaven, there is no earth, there is a new heaven. What does that mean? I may not understand, but I'll keep reading. I'll keep reading. I know there will be something I don't understand, but there is. The eunuch kept reading. The fact that he did not understand did not stop him. And I'm saying, don't wait to read what you know. Read what you don't know. Read that which you don't know. That somehow I being on the way, the Lord will lead his people. The Lord leads Philip to the man who is reading. That's why he is told, just get near there. Then begin a conversation from where the person is. That you need to converse. It is not you telling. It is conversing. Ask a question so that the person invites you. Then you can explain the art of conversation. Where I teach, that's one of the subjects we do in interpersonal communication. And we keep saying, you know, conversation is not natural. knowing how to get in and how to bring out the maximum out of a conversation without dominating, without trying to impress, but speaking in a way that enables the other to bring out what is in them and also enables you to bring out what is in them. That makes people rich. That is what enriches people. When we don't know the art of conversation, we are always telling, we are commanding, we are threatening, so we can't converse. We need to learn how to converse so that we can engage. One, because God has given us wealth of knowledge. It will never be known if we cannot converse with the people. Because people learn when they are not threatened. People learn informally so that we have to, get it from the Spirit of God using Philip. Go to the chariot, stay near there. So that you know where the man is, then begin from where he is. The story is not about you. Now you are communicating to the other. So begin where the person is, so that you now become relevant because you know what is his question. So you don't go answering questions like we go. And I think it's getting worse. Friends, there is something we are saying, sharing the gospel, even as you go to Mukuru Wajenga. You can go so full of yourself. Do you know Jesus Christ? You know he came to save you. What are you talking about? What is to be saved? Who told you that is my greatest need for now? Friends, we need the art of conversation. We need to develop the art of conversing with the people. Otherwise, God's blessing. Like now when you come for Saturday PM, when you walk through the Bible chapter by chapter, do you realize you are not like an ordinary Kenyan? Do you know you are way above many with the titles and high status in church today? Because you'll be amazed how many people read the Bible. You'll be amazed. I was just on my normal roots, greeting people, knowing them. I would go to churches. We were in that new city. And the kind of sermon is somebody has spoken and spoken a lot, but there was no scripture. It's not about your feelings. What does the Bible say? And when the Holy Spirit is named, is when people become even more irrelevant. There is no scripture. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Da, 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 da. It's not drama. Talk no more so that people can hear what you are saying. So I remember the feeling the Spirit of God, I must now use the words, telling me that these people don't know the Bible. It's not that they are refusing. They haven't read it. And I remember coming and going to the Scripture Union and buying daily guides. Then going from church to church, pastors selling to them. And it's my husband saying, what are you doing? These are pastors. I said, yes. But you see, if you don't know the word, it doesn't matter whether you are called a pastor. You will preach from what you know. So I went and sold the books to as many pastors as I could. On credit, it was selling same price. It's availing it. And do you know, within 3 months, you went to the churches and there was a difference. People spoke scripture. And I am telling you, by the way, it is the end of the year. Do you know one of the gifts you can do is to give some of those people something to help them read the Bible? That don't assume they know. Find out. Go for a sleepover in some of those big names places and see what they do. Because faith doesn't come because you are called things. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So the eunuch recognized that there was need for outside help. He was diligently seeking the word of God. I feel like just pushing it a little further. That, friends, the Lord has not brought you here by accident. It is the last day of Saturday PM this year. Then we'll be in 2019. Don't make any of a person who calls you uncle go back to school without something to help them read the Bible. Get daily power. Get God at me. Get books that enable people to read the scripture portion by portion so that as they go, there's some, don't just say they are there. The high schools will get them. And you know, where I was speaking last Sunday and quoting what I had quoted here, there are no unreached people. Because when you are not reaching them, somebody else is reaching them. So drug peddlers are in school, reaching people who have no gospel for protection. These spirits of demons are all over, and you know. So what about your relatives? What about the people you know? What about the people in your community? Can some of your money, because we say the tithe is not the issue. It is 100% of what God has given you is for the kingdom of God. So there's nothing about your money. It is God who has given you. And when he sends you, do something about it. Let people not die. I used to do that. I used to get the Kikuyu one for my mother-in-law. And then I was working in an office. So my mother-in-law, by the way, was thoroughly illiterate. But she read the Bible throughout the year. She read the Bible. She knew it. She was the best mother-in-law anybody could have. Always quoting the scriptures. She will have people come read it for her. Even on her deathbed, ask this girl. She was running to the hospital. She with the Kikuyu Bible to go to read for the grandmother. And when she would be in a coma, but when the Bible is read, she opens her eyes. And I thought, wow. So I sit in the office and I look at the people. These people have mothers. What are their mothers reading? So I go on my mission. Can you buy Otaidio Wao Mudenya for your mother? I got the Luo one. I think called Mabiria or something. I got it. So I sell to you the one for, take to your people as you go for Christmas. Don't just take chapati. That is something small, which will be eaten one day. Can you leave something? They'll remember you the whole year as they read the word of God. So invest in people so that they read the word of God. And it is there. Put it up. Whether it's Kiswahili, whichever. Don't be complicated by buying for people what they can't read. It's not a show off. You are looking for ways for people to know the word of God. Now, this man, Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This man hungered for righteousness. He is reading what he does not understand, but he keeps reading anyway. And as he did, if you diligently search scripture, God will send a Philip to explain what it is, the scripture means, and its benefit when understood. So that let's encourage ourselves to keep reading the word of God, like the eunuch. So that as God sends Philip, we benefit. The eunuch found that in reading the word of God would lead him to God. The word of God is not God, but it leads you to God so that you get in touch with God, get contact with God. Somebody, Morgan, says, if Christ is hindered, it is because some Philip is not willing to go. If Christ is hindered, it's because some Philip is not willing to go. Are you that Philip? Are you the one the Lord is sending? As I am saying, as you go for Christmas parties, end of year parties, and you are here, you are the Christian, what is your gift to the people that will encourage them so that they find the Lord? What are you telling the Lord to do for you so that you become a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you are? That as you go to Mombasa, to wherever, are you thinking about those people? I was very impressed by this lady, very, very rich. She is daughter of a settler, those who owned the land, Wenyeinchi. And so she inherited a lot of wealth. I mean, she went somewhere, Naivasha there, heard the gospel, and gave it a second thought, read the Bible, accepted Jesus as Lord, and she was on fire. Is this what the word says? How come people are not explaining it sincerely. It's because money does not save. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and everybody needs it. You know what she did? She went and organized in her hotel, put in a post called Human Relations, and put in a pastor from our church here to be there, to be having workers and guests. She built a chapel, very beautiful one, so that they hear the gospel. Of course, in a hotel, there are people who will be on duty and some off duty. So, but now this pastor is in Human Relations, so that it is so organized that at least 2 Sundays in a month, you will be able to go to the service. And then people would be invited. That's how I got myself accompanying my husband to share the gospel. And I thought, thank you, Lord. A woman gets to know the Lord, and she uses her resources to make others know the Lord. Can we share the gospel with the people without fearing their status? Can we ask the Lord to use us? Philip was an effective evangelist because he knew how to flow with what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. He knew how to flow with the Spirit. He was truly led by Spirit, not by his own whims and feelings, not by a good plan of what we shall be when he is 80. How he'll never die without a house, 40 by 40, I mean, for the richest 40 before 40. And therefore, you are there. Can you allow Spirit of God to lead you? Can I put it to you? Abraham was rich. God gave him wealth. But do you know when his wife died? He had nowhere to bury her. He had no land. Remember, he is leaving the dead body to go to negotiate for a piece of land. And that's okay. That is in God's will. And there is nothing wrong. Things don't have to follow a given pattern of the ancestors. Listen to the Lord. When he says go, flow with the Spirit of God. He is God of time and God of season. A source of whom we know nothing else, we know this, that people have souls and they need to get saved. So like the eunuch, in reading the word of God, we should often pause and inquire of whom and of what is the scripture speaking. As we take our break for Saturday, from Saturday p.m., can we pause like the eunuch and wonder what is the scripture talking about? What is it that the Lord would want me to hear? That we need moments. Those who seek the truth and employ their time in searching the scriptures will be sure to reap advantages. They'll be used of the Lord. The Ethiopian must be understood as someone that God used. And from what we know, sure, the Orthodox Church in Ethiopia, even to this day, the Coptic one have a hospital here, they have persisted heavy Muslim onslaught. They are persecuted, but they have survived. They have survived. I went to Egypt one time, and the greatest mistake, I went with my biases and stereotypes. The only church available was the Coptic. Now me, I saw them doing the smoke, and I said, now those ones, I don't have anything to do with them. And I missed an opportunity. How do you know? I don't know. God. I came back here. And as I am teaching in Desta, I get a letter of invitation to speak to the youth of Coptic Church. The church I refused to attend. And as I went, I thought, you mean they read the Bible? So I had a lot of repentance and a lot of cleansing and feeling foolish because I missed an opportunity. Whatever it is, whether they are pushing smoke and everything, there is something about the gospel that has kept those people on for all those years. there is something. Remember, they pay extra taxes, they are discriminated, they are minority, but if they got it from this eunuch, I think there is something there. I mean, there is something about the word. So that now as we share about the grace of God, they are not foreigners. We are together because we are talking about Jesus Christ. So let us not be satisfied till we get the faith as the Ethiopian eunuch did. Let's not get satisfied. Be diligent. Let's try to search the scripture. Don't settle. Don't be satisfied until Christ is formed in you. Don't be satisfied by just seeing things happening. Let you be part of what is happening. That be a Philip. Don't just sit there. Be the Ethiopian eunuch who gets the gospel. And when he gets the gospel, he's the one who is asking. The water is there. What is going to stop me? Because Philip is able to explain this Isaiah 53 he is reading about the Christ. He is able to, and he now gets it. And the culture of the day, of his day, was that baptism was not a religious concept. It was a cultural concept. That once you become a disciple of somebody, you go through water as a sign that you now are a disciple. You'll be learning from this. You'll become like the master. And why? What is it that stops you? Of course, today we have made it a paraphernalia of some sort. That's not what it is. That once you are a disciple of Christ, then you learn from Christ and go under the water. Not water sprinkled. The water is there. What is to stop you? And the man was baptized. And I finish, verse 39 to 40. As soon as he was baptized, the Spirit of God took Philip from him. Philip just disappeared. So that he saw him no more. The work was done. It was not the next sermon and another sermon, and they are still waiting for God to call them. Can you wake up? God has already called. Can you do what God has told you to do? The Ethiopian eunuch was left on his own. He has understood the God of the scripture. He has gotten in touch with God of the scripture. Now he can go on his way. And the Spirit of God took Philip elsewhere. So he was there no more. And that confirmed that the faith of the Ethiopian was real. It was genuine. When the inquirer after salvation becomes acquainted with Jesus Christ and his gospel, he'll go on his way rejoicing. The Bible says the eunuch went on his way rejoicing because he had found the treasure that you don't just happen to know. He will feel the society, the space, wherever you are, the joy of the Lord will be there. Just like we said, Samaritans, once they received the gospel, were filled with joy. And so the Bible again says, the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. So wherever he went, a joyful person gives joy to the people he goes to. A joyful person, wherever they go, they leave others joyful. And I think when we go and leave people confused, we need to wonder, which spirit are we working with? He went to discharge his duties from a new identity. So he went, and Philip continued. Friends, the work of the Lord, we are not here for all the time. We are not here to keep repeating. Our duties is to encourage one another. It is to allow Spirit of God, like I said last week, can we pray, can we ask the Lord to fill us with the power from on high? To fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we ask the Lord to open our eyes so that we identify opportunities that may be firing from a place of work, that may be persecution by parents and relatives? Why are you not getting married? Don't see it as persecution. It's an opportunity. God is speaking. He is telling you something. You are not to fit into societal structures. You need to flow with the Spirit of God. That when it is the Spirit of God that we are flowing in, we will rejoice. And we will cause people to rejoice. All of us are ministers. And I finish by saying that the issue of being full-time minister. God called me. I am now in full-time ministry. It's a very weird concept. I don't think it's from the Lord. I think we need to go back to the book and realize the terminology of the Bible, not the terminology of the colonialist, of the missionary, of the system, that everybody filled with the Spirit. Philip was on duty, available for God 24/7. So that for anybody to say that they are in secular employment, that they are not full-time, I don't know what you are talking about. I mean, you need to resign and get to know the Spirit of God, because he has sent you where you work as a missionary. I have told you about my friend in the Bible study who is a missionary to reach the Asian boss, where the pastor cannot go. If the wind shows up here, all of us will be eyes, because they are minority. I mean, we don't think they need the gospel. We can get medicine from them. We can get materials from them. But the gospel is ours. Friends, holding the gospel, these Asians will be accountable for. And we are working for them. God put you there as his missionary. Can you pray for opportunity? Can you pray for the Spirit of God to be in you, so that you flow in the Spirit, that nobody in that office will not know the way of salvation, because you are there 24/7, full-time minister, called of God. It is people that are called. It's not this church. I've told you before, this is not full-time. This is a building. These are stones, and there are people with titles who have never interacted with Jesus Christ. It is those who have interacted with Christ who are full-time ministry, and wherever they go, it is not an issue of title. It is not an issue that mine is to teach. No. It is wherever I am. I teach, I cook, I go to the market, I do other things. It is wherever I am. That the work, I am the full-time. It is not my employment. Christ has employed me. And that's what I want us to know. That once you are on God's duty, you are full-time. It may require you to work in an organization that helps organize Christians, like a church. It may require you to work in a petrol station or company. It may require you to work wherever it is. It is you who is full-time. It is not the employer or the nature of employment. So we need to get out of that mode of thinking, because I think we are losing a lot of opportunity. May the Lord help us. And as we take the break, as we celebrate, may we, like Philip, be led of the Spirit of God, so that as we flow in the Spirit, we may not go for holiday where we thought we will go. Listen to the Lord. There is a place he wants you to go. Listen again and go where the Lord is sending you. And as you go, listen again, so that the conversation comes and it will be as effective as Philip. That you don't need many hours. The man is already ready. The Lord has prepared him. He just needed somebody to explain. May God bless you. May we live for Christ. Until he comes or calls us home, may we remain in his grace. Thank you.